Hello for Lover, this is Pacific Waves from RNZ Pacific. I'm Susanna Suisuiki. Coming up, Bougainville aims to calm tensions in South. Also,
quite often these animals have to interact with visitors, relatives, people who call around to the house.
Every dog has its day. Well, except for six breeds which are banned in the Cook Islands. And
the small island developing state is now honoured by inviting all the leaders.
The Commonwealth's Baroness stops by in Samoa and Tonga in the lead up to Chogum. After violence in the south of the autonomous Papua New Guinea region of Bougainville, efforts are being made to ease tensions. Late last month, a man was killed and the Bowen studios of broadcaster New Dawn FM were wrecked when factions within the Me'eka Mui group clashed. The Bougainville Police Commander, Francis Tokura, spoke to Don Wiseman about the violence and what the police and government are trying to do about it.
It's been a long-standing issue between factions of the Me'eka Mui. There's been killings been going on for quite a while now, and most recently, this last week, we were down in Buin with Bougainville Police Minister, several other senior public servants, and one of the constituency members from South Central Bougainville. We're basically there to have a look at how we can address this particular issue and come up with some solutions to actually just put everything to rest, make the factions come to a round table discussing if they can be convinced. The meeting we had was quite good. Actually, stemmed up from the shooting of Bougainville and from one of the villages in South Bougainville in Buin by a faction of the Me'eka Mui from up towards Kono constituency. As a result of that, the relatives of that retaliated and ransacked the New Dawn FM studio in Buin. And that also prompted us to have a meeting actually in Buka, and then every one of us was sent down to Buin with the ex-combatants, the veterans, with the president of the Veterans Association, the police minister, veterans, member for Central Bougainville, and a few other prominent Bougainvillians as well.
All right, so you're suggesting that it's all sorted now?
Well, so far we've done what we can. The Veterans Association sat together, had their own discussion, came up with resolutions. And the constituency members for the community governments in Lule constituency, Baubage, Makis, they also had their own discussions amongst themselves and came up with resolutions on how this particular issue can be addressed collectively and make these two factions come to some sort of a discussion so they can put down their arms once and for all.
Can I ask?
Yeah.
So we've got two factions of the Me'eka Mui, and the Me'eka Mui, certainly once upon a time, was a rigid separatist organisation within the Bougainville Revolutionary Army, wasn't it? Or came from that? So
yeah, that's right.
You've got two factions fighting each other. What are they fighting over exactly?
There's a lot of talk going on the reasons for them fighting each other, but it's probably just a misunderstanding on their philosophies on how they are supposed to be working together or staying together as a group. But it's a long story, so I would basically just say that it's a misunderstanding between the leaders of these two factions. That's why they're actually not only two. There's a few other factions in the particular constituency in Kono. They're actually having their differences. That's why it's now coming down to a lot of these killings, and we're just trying to find out ways and means on how we can address this.
What are those ways and means? Because lots and lots of effort's gone into trying to take guns off these guys, and it doesn't work, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yes. Well, one of the obvious discussions that one of the obvious things that came out from the discussion was actually look at how can the government assist, maybe starting projects for them to make them become involved in doing certain things for themselves so that they put down their arms. Instead of holding arms, they do something more meaningful in their communities, in their families as well. So starting projects is one of the things that came about in the discussions, and looking at ways and means of engaging the young up-and-coming youths. Obviously, by this time, you would appreciate the fact that most of the veterans or those who were involved in the crisis have already passed on. Some are quite old. They probably cannot be able to do harm to anybody by this time. So it's the younger ones who are now taking up these arms.
Yes.
So one of the obvious things discussed was for the government to come up with projects, look at how they can help the youth, perhaps come up with educational programs, sending them to schools. Those are the obvious discussions that they came about during this discussion. But it's now up to the team which was set up to have a look at those resolutions and make recommendations to the Bougainville government and obviously to the national government as well.
I guess we can't call these people ex-combatants because most of them are far too young to have been involved in any fighting.
No, it's obvious that they are very young and they're not ex-combatants, they're not veterans. Even the veterans do not recognize them as being ex-combatants. There's only maybe a few of them who are still around, but a lot of them are now very young, who grew up during the crisis.
Yes, so they're gangs of youths, basically.
Well, we could say that, yeah, we could say that, obviously. They're not those who were actually involved in the crisis.
If I could talk about New Dawn FM, they had their studio down there destroyed. Why were they targeted?
There's been some concerns raised about the involvement of, it's still unconfirmed, still trying to get a report from my commanders as to if there was actually anything that could link New Dawn FM to this particular issue, the killing that recently happened. We were just trying to work out why was New Dawn FM singled out during this particular shooting. Obviously, it was burned down by criminal elements, not those who were actually involved in the shooting. And the owner of New Dawn FM is also actually from Konno constituency, and the building was burned down by youths from within Baobake constituency. They are two different constituencies, so we're just trying to do some initial investigation as to how was New Dawn FM linked into this particular shooting.
One of the problems with Bougainville is a lack of communication, so losing the radio station doesn't help that process, does it?
Yes. I'm concerned as well, because New Dawn FM has been assisting us, actually, not only Bougainvillians, but also the Bougainville Police Service in disseminating information from Buka to South Bougainville through New Dawn FM in Buin. And I'm also very concerned as to the lack of communication that we'll be having now that New Dawn FM is in Buin has been burned down. And I feel very concerned for this to have happened. So I've instructed my commanders to make sure that they continue with investigations and get as many of the youths who were involved in this, because it's a law and order issue now.
Cook Islands police have put out a reminder that 6 dog breeds are banned in the country after people have applied to fly them in. American Staffordshire Terrier, Pitbull Terrier, Bulldogs, Doberman and Rottweilers are all not allowed. The reminder from police follows 6 dog attacks in the last month. Police spokesperson Trevor Pitt told Caleb Fotheringham there's been an unusual high number of people trying to get dogs into the Cook Islands.
A couple of these applications fell into the categories of prohibited crossbreeds, especially the Staffordshire Terrier. That was the main reason why I posted an update on the requirements for importing a dog, along with some current statistical information about the complaints.
I'm keen to get to the complaints, but before we do, can you tell me why the dog breeds have been banned?
Well, this is a historical list that's been put together over the years, so we didn't just come up with a list like just now. And it was based on the experience of having particular breeds like the Rottweiler especially. And we did have some on the island some years ago, back in the 80s. Over the years, certain breeds have been added to the list because of the concerns over their temperament. And it's not just the temperament in terms of the family who are holding these animals as pets, because quite often these animals have to interact with visitors, relatives, people who call around to the house, and also other dogs that they might run into on various occasions. At times, you know, things can get pretty nasty if that sort of instinct and temperament get in the way and takes over and suddenly there's a violent situation.
So you mentioned before that there were some complaints recently. Could you please tell me what complaints there have been?
Well, the complaints are ongoing, and they're just the uncontrolled dogs. There are a range of complaints from dogs barking all night, dogs hanging around in packs by the side of the road, chasing motorcyclists and cyclists and also walkers. People who walk in the mornings and the evenings get harassed. We've had, I think, about 7 so far this month, mostly attacking people. And people have had narrow escapes from being nipped on the legs as they've sort of walked past or driven past. So that's an ongoing issue for us and our dog control unit, which is busy on a daily basis attending to call-outs.
How severe have these attacks been?
People have been bitten, so, you know, bite marks. They've broken the skin.
And in terms of the dog control squad, what type of work do they do?
Well, they attend to the complaints as on an ongoing basis. So yesterday they were out in Tijitavaka trying to locate a pack of dogs that's been harassing people and livestock. And any dogs identified as unregistered are put down.
How many dogs are registered versus unregistered? The problem in Rarotonga, is it just a bunch of stray dogs walking around, or do most of them have homes?
Well, it varies from village to village. Some areas are particularly bad for roaming packs. But we also have a problem with dogs up in the mountains too, wild dogs, who venture down during the day and night, scavenging. And these dogs also cause a problem amongst the domestic population in terms of attacking pigs and goats, as well as looking for, you know, food scraps. So they're actually quite a danger as well.
Commonwealth Secretary General Patricia Scotland recently visited Samoa and is now in Tonga. Her visit comes as Samoa prepares to host the Commonwealth Heads of Government meeting in October. Whenau Whanua spoke with the Baroness.
Could you describe your arrival to Samoa?
Well, firstly, it was a real delight to arrive in Samoa and to be greeted by the officials at the airport and to be garlanded. It was a special Samoan welcome. And the people of Samoa have a warmth and a generosity and a vibrancy that is so quintessentially the Blue Pacific that it was wonderful to be back in the region once again.
How significant is it for a Pacific Island country to host? I believe this is the first time for a Pacific Island country to host the Commonwealth Heads of State meeting.
I think it's an incredible thing that a small island developing state in the big Blue Pacific is now honoured by inviting all the leaders, that's 56 leaders representing 2.5 billion people, 60% of whom are under the age of 30, to come to this island. So we can really see, touch, taste not only the beauty of the Pacific, but also the challenges, particularly relating to climate change. When you are outside the region, it's easy to empathize and to think you understand the reality of living in a climate vulnerable region. But I think it's only when you are here, when you can see with your own eyes, hear with your own ears, and feel with your own heart the beat of this region, the suffering and the joy of this region, that you really understand the urgency and the emergency that we are currently facing on climate. So I think it is critical that the leaders from the five corners of the world, from the five corners and regions of our Commonwealth, will be here all together in one place in October to debate the issues which are so important to all of us.
From what I understand, you'll be in Samoa for about a week.
We'll leave on Good Friday to go to Tonga. But having arrived here, we're really doing the preparatory meetings to get ready for the Commonwealth Heads of Government when they come in October of this year. So we'll be looking at the venues, we'll be looking at the subject matter, we'll be planning to make sure that the leaders have the best possible time. And I have to tell you that the Samoa team are fantastic. They have been working with us over Zoom calls on a weekly basis as we prepare the Women's Conference, the Women's Forum, the Young People's Forum, the Business Forum, and the Civil Society Forum, so that we will really have the richness of the Commonwealth here in Samoa. And so we will be visiting all the venues, and we will be planning as to how we can help Samoa create the dream that they have of the best Commonwealth heads of government this region, and indeed we have ever seen. And I think they are absolutely committed to doing it, and I think they will deliver it.
Last question. Could you give a response to the criticisms by some people in regards to that it's some kind of colonial club?
Well, I think the Commonwealth has never been more important than it is today. I think it was back in 1953 that the Queen said that this new Commonwealth, this new alignment of countries, had nothing to do with empire. It was a totally new construct. And you'll remember that the new Commonwealth was created when eight countries, including countries like India and Pakistan and Sri Lanka, had broken away from the United Kingdom and had gained their independence. But they still wished to stay part of the family. And now we have 37 countries in our Commonwealth who are republics. But we also have a number of monarchies. So you'll know that Malaysia, Eswatini, Brunei, and Tonga. But this is a really interesting new dynamic, because a number of countries, like Rwanda, like Mozambique, countries like Cameroon, because Togo and Gabon, these countries have never had anything to do with empire, but they came to join us. And when I asked them, why do you want so passionately to be part of the Commonwealth, they said it was because of our values.
That's Pacific Waves for today. To listen back, head over to rnzi.com/programs. We're also on Spotify, Apple, and iHeartRadio. From myself and the RNZ Pacific team, tō whā soifua.